Okay, and I'll have to check this. Okay, thank you everyone for coming. Welcome. Okay, we had a Ashgacha Pratis today. So this afternoon, I got a phone call from Shmuel Krasner that he reminded me of what we said last year. Said he loved the Vart, and he had an addition. So we'll start with that. Just someone liked it. Something that we said. So I might as well say it over, because I do think it is a nice idea to start with. There's a very beautiful Haggadah called Siach Yitzchak. There's a parish of the Siach Yitzchak on the Siddur Agra, which is a very beautiful parish. It's a Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. He explains the Tfilah Piderach HaMusar. So in the Siddur Agra, there's a Haggadah with a parish on it. What's very strange is that's not the parish of the Siach Yitzchak. This is Meltzer. Meltzer, who wrote the parish of Siach Yitzchak. So they put, for some strange reason, they put a different parish in the Siddur Agra. But his Haggadah is a separate sefer. So he has in this Haggadah, which is a separate sefer, he has an introduction to explain what was the reason for the Bnei Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim. So he brings many, many different shitas. I don't want to go, obviously I'm not going to go through them all. But he brings one shita, says the Alshech, the Shalah, some Shemen HaMa'or, that this is the concept of that it was a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satara. That in order to make Kabbalah Torah, Klai Yisrael had to be kind of, either they had to be kind of the Midah of Avdus, or they had to be purified from the Chet of the Zuma of Adam Arishan, the Nachash Eitz Adas. Two different versions, but they're both very similar. And so they needed to go down to Mitzrayim to give them this Avdus personality, so they can make Kabbalah the Torah, or to give them the Kedusha of getting rid of the Zuma. So there's definitely a Musar Shmuz here. And it's a very inspiring thought. Is Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, Shiftei Ka. They're learning, they have, you know, imagine a person who's sitting in Eretz Yisrael. He's sitting and learning Torah all day. He's learning by the biggest Rosh Hashiva, the biggest Gadol, Yaakov Avinu. He has Gevaldik Chavrusas, Gevaldik Hasmada. His father-in-law is supporting him. He's rich. He has no daigas. He can sit and learn all day long. You say, you know what? This is not good for your midas. You're not going to be able to be a Kabbalah Torah. You know what you need for Kabbalah Torah? You got to go down to Mitzrayim, to the Makom HaMemtev Shari Tuma. You got to work as an Evan. You got to be battle. You know, you got to have the great most battle. You can't have a second to learn. No time to think. That's going to raise his madrega to make him roi to Kabbalah Satara. We would think just the opposite. But apparently, there's some dimension that, you know, everything we don't understand. You know, person, in order to reach Shlemis, you need everything. Learning Torah alone, as much as we're machshav learning Torah, is not everything. So you can sit in Eretz Yisrael with the biggest Rebbe, and you can shtayg yoyim v'layda, v'kdusha v'tayra, but you're still missing something. And sometimes in this Yonis HaChayim of Yisurim and problems and difficulties and being exposed to Tumah helps a person reach a higher level. So it's, even though it brought him down to Memtes Shari Tumah, but it was a Yerida Tzarech Aliyah. So definitely the Musar Haskel is for especially fellows who were in the yeshiva, and they had that experience of being totally immersed in Torah. And then as life has a way for all of us, even for, you know, that we get.
You mind if I do it here because it's not, the video isn't playing well in the bedroom.
Yeah, we get distracted with all kinds of distractions and all kinds of tirdas. And we have to, you know, have to leave Eretz Yisrael and come to Miami. And we have to, who knows what. So there's all kinds of problems, and we get upset. Why couldn't I just have no distractions and no tirdas. And why couldn't I have, you know, why could I Kodesh Baruch Hu? I want ruchnius. Why couldn't I Kodesh Baruch Hu give me just no daigas and no, not to be exposed to all this schmutz and filth? You know, I don't know if America yet has reached Memtei Shaarei Tumah. No, it's probably close, but I don't assume we still didn't get there yet. So why, you know, we sometimes wonder, why do we need all this? But you see from these Mefarshim that Fakert, that sometimes that's a necessity to reach Kabbalah Satara. Okay, anyway, that's what I said that. I don't exactly said that, except but roughly. So he told, said over Shmuel that he saw and he heard from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he says that the reason why we have many of the mitzvahs of Pesach is on Yayin, is because the way you make wine is you crush the grapes. So it's the same idea that the way a person, you get a beautiful thing by crushing things. Grapes are very nice, but when you crush them, you get something even better. You get wine. So that's the same message of Pesach. Okay. I don't have Rav Shlomo Zalman's Haggadah, I can't look it up, but I heard the exact same part. I'm just gonna say it over. Because my father, you know, there's such a thing in Musar that sometimes you have a extremely emotional experience that stays with you your whole life. So my father definitely had once in the 1940s an experience that he always said over, and it was on this part, that he said that in the mid-40s, he was learning in YU, he was learning for Smicha, and he went to someone, a friend of his house for Shabbos. I think he was still single. His friend was like an hour. And he went to his house for Shabbos. And they heard that the Mir Yeshiva had just come from Shanghai. Mir Yeshiva landed in the West Coast from Shanghai, they built. And then they traveled to New York. And they just arrived in New York, you know, This was their first Shabbos in New York. And they were staying somewhere in some hotel, like something nearby where my father was with his friend, this is his friend in Gnauer. So they decided Motzoi Shabbos, they would go there and try and catch the shmooze from the Mashkiach, from Avchatzko. So my father told me they quickly went after Shabbos, they drove over, but they missed the shmooze. So they went over to Rav Chatzko, maybe a little bit chutzpah, and they asked him if he could tell him over something. So he said, Rav Chatzko sat them down on a little table with these two American boys and Rav Chatzko, and he told them over basically the shmooze that he just said. And the highlight of the shmooze was in Parshas Tetzaveh, that the Parshas says that you take Shemen Zayazach Kosis Amor. And he says, Rav Chatzko says, look around. You see all these guys? And my father says, he looked around and he sees all these skinny guys. He says, they were in Shanghai. They were crushed. The Puzzlik says, how do you get olive oil? You have to cut this some more. You have to crush the olives. The only way you get oil, pure oil, is you have to crush them. All these guys, they got crushed. That's how they became great. But you two, you were in America. You were never crushed. How do you expect to become great if you weren't crushed? That was his message. That you got to crush yourselves. You don't crush yourself, it's hopeless. Because if you were in Zeicher to be crushed in Shanghai, so you had in America. If you're an American, you're not being crushed. So unless you crush yourself, there's no hope for you. And my father used to always say that over. It was a very emotional thing for him. You know, Rav Chatzko telling it to him personally. So that's what Shmuel said, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that the grapes also get crushed to make wine. And that's the idea of Mitzrayim, according to this part, that the Yisoid of Godless Mitzrayim was sometimes, if we look at Yisurim and we get all upset that we have things hard in life, is the being crushed is what brings out the greatness. Okay, that was the Hashgacha Pratis in a phone call we got this afternoon. Okay, there is a sefer which I happen to like very much on the Haggadah. It's not such a commonly known sefer. There was a person, those people who know me already know this, a person, Rav Shmuel Hominer. Rav Hominer, I never met, but I knew two of his very close Talmidim. I learned with both of them. One of them, his name was Rav Yehuda Cohn, told me he was his Musar Chavrusa, that Rav Hominer heard him learning Musar in the early 1900s, and they made up to become Musar Chavrusas. And they said they, for the rest of their lives, they stayed in touch. They learned Musar together, and they made a weekly Cheshbon HaNefesh together. And they were, you know, even when they were, he says, sometimes they were in different cities, but they made sure to meet once a week for their whole life, for like 50 years. So that was Rabbi Yehuda Cohn. And then later, I learned with Rabbi Avraham, he was a Binyan Olam. He was also a Talmud of the Rav Shmuel Hominer. So Rav Hominer, he wrote many, many Sfarim, but his main sefer is this Eben HaMelech, which is a basic sefer where he discusses all the mitzvahs in the Torah and how he goes through the Chumash, and that there are many, many mitzvahs that people are not aware of, that because there's much more than 613 mitzvahs. So besides the sefer Eben HaMelech, he has a sefer on Pesach night, really. It's called Mitzvahs B'Leil HaSeder, right? If you can guess from the name, Mitzvahs B'Leil HaSeder means the mitzvahs that you do on the night of the Seder. And he basically writes, he comes out, he points out 165 mitzvahs that you're mekayim in the Leil HaSeder. Right? Anyone who did not realize that the Leil HaSeder, you do 165 mitzvahs. And the truth is that he left out a lot. Basically, the concept is as follows. There's a Sefer Malos HaTorah, which is written by the Gra's brother, where he says that we have in Parshas Pekudai, and even in the Yaakov also, that every time it says that Moshe did something in the Mishkan, it says after every keli, it says, I get the pasuk exactly, it says, the Yaska Shetiva Shemes Moshe. Let's get the exact lashon. I'm sorry. I don't have the exact lashon. But Asher Tziv Hashem Lasos Miyad Moshe. And then every time it says, sorry, look at the pasuk here. I should have had it ready. Kasher here in Pekudai, after it says Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Says it like 20 or some odd times in the parsha Pekudai, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So the question is, why does I have to say that? So the Gra's brother says from the Gra, because there's a mitzvah of Asuri Migdash. So how many mitzvahs is Asuri Migdash? Poshup Shad, it's one mitzvah. You build a base on Migdash. Your father asks you to cook supper. You do make him supper. You get one mitzvah. Shem asks, make me a base on Migdash. You make a base on Migdash. It's one mitzvah. Says the Gra, that's not true. Says every dibur, he brings a medrash that says Hashem said, karcha, bincha, yichitcha, tzerhavta. Every dibur is a separate mitzvah. So he says every part is a separate mitzvah. So there's a separate mitzvah to build the aron, a separate mitzvah to build the shulchan, a separate mitzvah to build the menorah, a separate mitzvah to build the ureos, separate mitzvah to build the mizbeach. So you're making supper, it's a separate mitzvah to make the entree, it's a separate mitzvah to make the main course. Each part is a separate mitzvah. The only thing is, it depends what your kavan is. If you're mechaving for one mitzvah, so you only get one mitzvah, because we all mitzvahs riches kavana. But if you're mechaving for each separate mitzvah, so you get a separate mitzvah for the entree and for the main course and for the dessert, or in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, for the menorah, for the mizbeach, each one to get a separate mitzvah. And then he says, furthermore, each one, there were particular instructions how to do it. Like if he said, when you're making dessert, don't put in too much sugar, put in extra salt. I like it this way. I like chocolate. So each one has mitzvah added mitzvah. So he says every prat and prat of every mitzvah is another mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah completely. So we think we're doing a one mitzvah of saying Haggadah. So says Rav Omer, it's not true. We're not doing one mitzvah of doing Haggadah. We're doing hundreds of mitzvahs because the Haggadah is made up of many, many parts. That's why the Pashup Shat, in this beginning of the Haggadah, we start out with this phrase. We start the Haggadah. We start Kadesh Urchatz, right? That's how we start. And what is the purpose of making this, this, you know, it's like a song. Kadesh Urchatz. I think it's very early that there's such a minute to do that. So the Hesber, according to this, is very simple, because what you're trying to point out is that it's separate parts. You wouldn't say Kadesh Urchatz. You just say, oh, I'm doing, the mitzvah is I'm doing the Haggadah. Say, no, you're not doing Haggadah. You're doing Kadesh, mitzvah number one. Rechatz, mitzvah number two. Karpas, mitzvah number three. Yachat, mitzvah number four. Magen, five. Except that even each one is a separate mitzvah. Just like Moshe, that's what he's saying. Just like Moshe, when he went ahead and he built the Mishkan, so after each piece, he said, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. He said, this is unique, this is separate. So likewise in the Haggadah, we break up each part to say it's a separate mitzvah. Now Rav Hominer goes further, because like what we were saying, that each piece, each part is made up of subparts. So for example, I can't go through this whole sefer, but we have the mitzvah of Kiddush. Okay, Kaddish. So how many mitzvahs do you have in Kaddish? So he says, first of all, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush, especially this year, a Shabbos, and a mitzvah of Kiddush and Yontif, two separate mitzvahs. Especially they're completely different. Kiddush and Shabbos, according to, is a deraisa, Friday night. And Kiddush and Yontif, according to most people, is only a drabbanon. But a drabbanon, and I say only, but it's a completely different mitzvah. A drabbanon is a deraisa of listening to drabbanon. It's a different mitzvah. So there's really two mitzvahs when you say Kiddush. You're making Kiddush of Shabbos, Kiddush of Yontif. Then you're also doing Dawud Kaisis, right? Because simultaneously, the wine of Kiddush is one of the Dawud Kaisis. So there's also a mitzvah of Einig Yontif. There's a mitzvah to drink wine. This I'm just saying over from Rav Hominer, from his beginning of his Sefer. There's a mitzvah to drink wine on Pesach, on Yontif. So in the Yontif. So you got a fourth mitzvah. I'm not sure if there's a mitzvah of Einig Shabbos, of drinking wine. It's not clear. So I think it's a machlokes. So if you'll be an Einig Shabbos, drink wine, then you got a sixth mitzvah. If it's not, then it's only, you know. So we got, then we have, what else does he have there? Then we make Ein Kiddush Ela Yayin. The Rabbanan were misakein. You derive so you can make Kiddush without wine. Rabbanan were misakein, you're supposed to make the Kiddush on Yayin. So that's another mitzvah. You're listening to the Rabbanan how to make the Kiddush. You're not just making the Kiddush your own way. The Rabbanan were misakein, then Kiddush is Shabbos. You should mention Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Really, there's no pashas. We would have think that if the Zohar is Yom HaKiddush and Shabbos was learned from Zohar is Yom HaShabbos Likacho, we would think it has nothing. You don't have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabbanan were misakein, whatever their cheshbon, that when you're in order to Yotze Kiddush and Shabbos, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Rav Hominer said that's another mitzvah, that you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kiddush and Shabbos, you're following the Nusach of the Rabbanan. You're making a Bayre Priyagothen. It's another mitzvah. You drink the wine Be'eseva. It's another mitzvah. You go ahead and you do the Eseva on the left side. And you think of the, so because it's otherwise there's a danger. So there's a mitzvah. If you do that Eseva on the wrong side, there's a promise. Shemarat Mitznafsho Seichem. You make a Shechiyanu, right? So I don't remember. I think I lost count, but I think there's around 10, 15 mitzvahs, probably closer to 15 mitzvahs, that in the one little Kiddush that you have, he says, he goes through the cheshbon that you're yotzei between 10 to 15 mitzvahs, and probably more that we left out. You medaktik in what type of wine to use. Some people don't use yayin that's mevushel on Pesach. It's also because he says, according to him, every prat that you're medaktik on is a separate mitzvah. So that's the idea of the Kaddish or Chatz. There's a reason why we're pointing it out in the beginning, is because we want to specify that every mitzvah is important, each separate, and if we're not doing one mitzvah of Seder, that would be a mega. One mitzvah of Seder. No, we're not doing one mitzvah of Seder. We're doing many, many sub-mitzvahs, and each one is important. Each one is a mitzvah of Theatma. I'm not sure that they're not necessary that they're ma'akeh, but even if they are ma'akeh, but once you're doing all of them, they're all separate mitzvahs. Okay, that's what Rav Homeder writes in the Sefer. It's a very nice Sefer. Regretfully, it's not in print. It's not in print at all. I took it off. I printed it off the computer from one of the Otzer Chochma. I printed out the Sefer. He has on mitzvahs Lil Seder, all the mitzvahs, and all the mitzvahs of the Sfiras HaOmer. Also a few hundred mitzvahs when you count Sfiras HaOmer. Okay. Speaking about doing mitzvahs, we mentioned this many, many times, that a mitzvah, not all mitzvahs are created equally. Meaning, obviously, some mitzvahs intrinsically are greater than others. But besides which, that some mitzvahs are intrinsically greater, a mitzvah that's done with the right cover, done properly, is much, much greater than a mitzvah that's not done properly. We said that there's a chazal that a mitzvah that's done with tzar is worth 1,000 times more than a mitzvah that's not done with tzar. And a mitzvah that's done with simcha is worth 1,000 times more than a mitzvah that's not done with simcha. So that there are many, many factors that tremendously raise the level of the mitzvah. So there's a story I heard, which I like very much. I heard this from Rav Yosef Kohn, that there were two Rosh Hashivas at one point in time in Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin started Volozhin. His son, Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, took over. And at some point, they had two co-Rosh Hashivas, which were the Nitziv, who was Rav Yitzchak Volozhin's son-in-law, and which is the grandson of Chaim Volozhin. And they also had the Beis Halevi, I think was also somehow a grandson of the Beis Halevi, I'm not sure, of the Chaim Volozhin, I think. I'm not sure if it was a grandson, I think so. So they were co-Rosh Hashivas. And they went ahead and they made their Seder together, two G'dayle Eilam. They were both in Volozhin. They made their Seder together. So at the end of the Seder, the Nitziv said to the Beis HaLevi that Be'ezrus Hashem, next year the Mashiach should come. V'nochol sham min hazochem min hapsochem. We should make the Seder in the Beis HaMikdash, but not together. Meaning, he said that the Nitziv's derech in doing the Seder was he tried very, very much to do it b'simcha. Because he felt, when you do the mitzvahs b'simcha, it's a much higher madrega. So he worked very hard at doing it b'simcha. The Beis HaLevi's derech in raising the level of the mitzvahs was by doing the mitzvahs with a tremendous tiktik hadin, and almost with a fum saira agra, that you have so much tzar, you have to worry, all the daigas. That was how he raised the level of the mitzvah. So the Beis HaLevi said that we can't be together for a Seder. You're ruining it for me. I'm trying to do it to Simcha, and you're getting all these daigas. Maybe we're not getting a matzah. Maybe the shear is not long enough. We're not eating it fast enough. He says all these daigas are taking away from my Simcha. So he told him that next year we should have the Seder, but separately. Okay. I think it's a very cute story, but the idea is that there are different drachim in trying to raise the level of the mitzvah. We, I think, do a little bit of both. We have in the Gemara in Kedushin, that the Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Yosef says, that if someone would, that at the end, first he was blind, and there he was part of the Menah Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Essay. So first he thought that it's better if a person who's potter does mitzvahs, because it shows he's doing the mitzvahs me'ava. But then they told him, Godah mitzvah me'aisa, yosef m'shena mitzvah aisa. Taisa says, the reason why Godah mitzvah aisa is because a mitzvah aisa has more daiga, like the Beis HaLevi. As the Beis HaLevi had daigas, maybe I'm not yotzi. So the Taifa says that every mitzvah oisa has a certain amount of daigas. And any mitzvah oisa doesn't have daigas. So that raises the level of the mitzvah so much, even more than the fact that you're doing it as just a volunteering, which also should raise the level of the mitzvah. So Goda mitzvah oisa is greater. So he says that he was happy. He used to make a party. So it's, you have both, that he's happy that he's sad, right? Because the fact that he has mitzvah oisa gives him daigas. Daigas makes him problems. And he's happy that he has the problems. Because now, Baruch Hashem, I can do the mitzvah with a little bit of tzar. Right? It's like I was telling the guys that I saw in a sefer, there was a certain tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael that his lights on Shabbos started blinking and making noise, whatever. Because the generator was making noise. So he was so happy. He says, normally I don't get a mitzvah of Yashav and Over Aveira because I have no Yetzar to turn off the light. Now the light's giving me tzar. I would want to turn it off. So I get a mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, the light's giving me tzar. Can I get a mitzvah of Yashav and Aveira? So Rabbi Yosef was happy that he had the tzar of the daiga. The tzar of the daiga is raising the level of his mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, so he made a party. So that's really where we try and do both. That we try and have, you know, it's, we do try and do diktik adin, much as, you know, we are very midaktik. On Pesach, the minig in Klal Yisrael, as I'm sure many of you know already, if you're cleaning for Pesach, that there's incredible chumras for Pesach, much more than all the year. And it's very, very strange why. But one of the reasons that's given is because Pesach comes once a year. There's other reasons. There's mystical reasons. Chametz is connected to the Eitz Sahara, whatever. But there's a lot of tzar, so to speak, in Pesach. You're worried about eating the matzah. So your person, I don't do it. I don't know if it's humanly possible, but some people do it. They claim that they swallow the matzah, the gazayas, in one swallow. I don't know how you can, it's humanly possible, but apparently some people do it. They say Rav Scheinberg used to do it. He would stick the matzah in his mouth and he would chew it until he got very, you know, soft to crumbs. And then he would push it with his tongue to the side of his, one side of his mouth. And then he would start eating more matzah and chew it, push it to the side. So his whole mouth was full of chewed matzah. And then he would swallow. So he was able to swallow it all at one time. But either way, there's a tremendous diktik adin on Pesach, which is the Beis HaLevi's system of getting a certain amount of tzar. And on the other hand, we do a tremendous simcha. Like Rav Yosef, we're happy that we have that tzar. So we try and get both aspects. Okay. I'm running. I thought I was taking longer than I thought. So let's try and go. We have the Maisa of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Harei Aniki ben Shivim Shana. So I know I said this last year, but I saw something on it different than what I said last year. So I want to add. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Harei Aniki ben Shivim Shana? That he was really only 18, but he became the Nasi. For whatever reason, there was a reason, there was a machloikas, and they made him the Nasi. And it was a shayla that people wasn't covetic looking, that such a young person should be the Nasi. So Hashem made a nace and he got old. The Rambam on the Beresh Mishnayos, it's a Mishnah, says that he was looked, even he was also said he was young, Ben Shimon Shana, he wasn't 70, but he looked like 70 because he worked so hard in learning that he turned white because he worked so hard. So the shayla is that how could the Rambam argue with the Gemara? The Gemara says it was a nace. Hashem made, you know, pump that day when he became Dimnasi, Hashem made a nace that he should get look old. And the Rambam says it was Abiderech HaTeva because he worked so hard for learning. So I heard from Rav Shia said that it's not a stira because the Rambam is just explaining that we always try and minimize the nace. So he's saying that even though it was a nace, there was a shtickel derech hatava. That's what I heard from Rav Shia, he told me. But I saw in the Haggadah brings that the Mekubalim have a third shot. Why? Ben Shivim Shana, because he got a Gilgo from Shmuel Anavi. Shmuel Anavi was Nifter when he's 52. So 52 and 18, so it's Ben Shivim Shana, because there's such a thing, not a Gilgo. Nitzis means that the Neshama of Shmuel Anavi joined. There's two separate things. I'm not into Kabbalah, but there's such a thing as you're a Gilgo, and there's such a thing as you're a Nitzis, means that the other Neshama joins, like an Ibor. A wife, an Ibor, is you have two Neshamas. You're pregnant. You yourself and the baby with you. So there's such a thing as sometimes a person gets an extra Neshama, where for whatever reason, to give you, help you out. So the Mekubalim said that when he became the Nasi, because Baruch Hu gave him the Neshama Shmuel, so he's Ben Shivim Shana, because he had his own 18 years, and he had Shmuel's 52 years. There's also against the Gemara. So I saw a few days ago, very, very fascinating, that we know that the Gemara explains certain stories in the Torah, and then you look at some of the Mefarshim and Chumash, and some of them say different shatim. You know, they say sometimes different shat. Chazal say that Rivka was three. And then you look at some of the Mefarshim and they say different. She wasn't, they give a different age. Other things. With the Pli Atzuma, how can the Chazal, I mean, you can't argue, you're not allowed to argue with the Gemara. So how could the Rishonim say different shat in the Gemara, especially in the story? It's only one story happened. So I once asked Rashiva this. Rashiva told me the answer. I think it's a very good answer. Is that he says the Torah is not a storybook. We don't really care what really happened. Obviously, what probably really happened is what Chazal said, but it's not relevant. The Torah is written to teach you lessons. And if there's ayin pun in the Torah, that means the Torah wants to teach you more than one lesson. And you can read the Torah in different ways. So the Rishonim are saying, based on they knew proper learning the psukim of Ein Mikra Yesterday Pshuto, or however you do that, which we don't know how exactly you do that. So they knew that there's another meaning to the pasuk. So that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu had two kavanas. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he said this pasuk, he meant to say two different things. Like the Gra has his parish on Megillas Esther, those who know, and he has also on Yoina, that he has a parish, which it's a whole different story. Completely different story. Mordechai doesn't mean Mordechai, and Achashverosh doesn't mean Achashverosh, and Esther doesn't mean Esther, and Amalek doesn't mean the king. Everything, each word means something else. Amalek means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I forgot it. I don't know. I never went through it. I can't say I forgot. I never went through it. But he changes the whole story. So what did Hashem mean when he wrote the Gittes Esther? He meant both. So he says that the Hashem, when the Chumash, Hashem wanted that we should learn the Chumash both ways, because the purpose of the Torah is not the history book, it's to give you a message, to give you two messages. So this Sefer, it was a Sefer called Darkei Chaim, said that it's not limited only to the Gemara, to Chumash. Even the Mishnah is written in a way that can give you two messages. So he says that it's known that the Rambam sometimes will explain the Mishnah different than the Gemara explains the Mishnah, because the Rambam, not that he denies that the Gemara is right, but just like you can have in the Chumash, Ayin Banim Natira, and the Rashbam will say, I'm going to say, Ein Mikra Yesterday Pshuto, which the Rashbam very often says. So you can do the same thing on a Mishnah. Now, we don't do that. You know, the Torah Tamima brings that his father, the Aruch HaShulchan, said a very cute line on that Rambam, that it's a Tzitzis Yomtiv that says on the Rambam, that Hadvarim Ha'edu Kodesh Haim Ve'ein Ana Rishus and Shtamesh Bahem Eda Nerosim Bovad. In other words, we shouldn't do it. Because you can become an apikoros when you start saying your own shatim against the Gemara. But the Rambam could do it, just like we shouldn't do it in Chumash either. We don't believe that a person today should say, well, use the system of Ein Mikra Yosef Pshutim and start saying his own shatim in Chumash. Because we don't know enough of what Ein Mikra Yosef Pshutim means. But the Rambam, so therefore, the Rambam is saying that even though when the Chazal say that the Haranik ben Shivim Shana was a nes, but the Rambam is saying there's another pshat that he worked till he worked so hard until he got old. Which one happened? They both happened. And as far as we're concerned, they both happened because they're both to be learned out from. Okay, I just want to make another thing. The basic thing here is I was looking at the master of the Modim Uzmanim. He has a very nice point that the question is, we go ahead and we say, he said, there's a chisid to say Yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilas. Now, we paskin that obviously you do say Yitzias Mitzrayim. The shayla how we paskin. We say at night, we say, Mariv, we say the parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Yomer. So paschus, we paskin that you do say Yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilas. Problem is that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos doesn't bring this mitzvah. So the question is, why not? So he says, he quotes the Chaim that says, pshat, why doesn't the Rambam bring it? Very cute pshat. Because the Rambam in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos, he puts down certain klodim. Which mitzvahs he's going to mention? Because the problem is there are more than 613 mitzvahs. So the we have to like figure out a way that why certain mitzvahs didn't count. So the Rambam says any mitzvah that's not for dairis, not forever, he doesn't count. For the 6 months, we're not counting the 613. So he says like this, Rav Chaim Brisker. He says, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah. What are we darshan the pasuk? Ben Zayma darshan said, for the Leilos. Hachamim darshim kol yemei chayecha lahavi mos haMashiach. That means if we paskin like Ben Zayma, so we darshin it for Leilos, then we don't have a drasha for Mashiach. If we don't have a drasha for Mashiach, it comes out that there's no mitzvah of saying Yitzias Mitzrayim b'layla once the Mashiach comes, or you see it, Mitzrayim, not even light, even in the daytime when the Mashiach comes, right? Because it's either or. Either the pasuk is coming to be Marbe Lailos, or it's coming to be Marbe Yemos Mashiach. So we pask it's coming to be Marbe Lailos, and it's not Marbe Mashiach. So it comes out, says Rav Chaim, that the mitzvah is not forever, because the mitzvah stops when the Mashiach comes. Mitzvah stops when the Mashiach comes. The Rambam doesn't mention mitzvahs that aren't forever. So that's why the Rambam doesn't mention the mitzvah of counting Yitzias Mitzrayim as one of the mitzvahs in the mitzvahs. Even it doesn't mention even the daytime, the Rambam, counting Yitzias Mitzrayim, saying you master Yitzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah. So there's a chayra question on Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim is saying that this mitzvah was really a question on the Mishnah. He's saying, Rav Chaim is saying that this mitzvah doesn't continue until Yemos Mashiach, which is pretty muchlok from the Mishnah, because you see the Achamim needed a special drasha. He says, but every other mitzvah that the Rambam counts in the Sefer Mitzvahs, obviously it does continue in Yemos Mashiach, otherwise they wouldn't be counted. So why my nishtana this mitzvah than every other mitzvah? Because why does a mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim stop once the Mashiach comes? But other mitzvahs don't stop. So the answer they give is because there's a Ramban, which we a very fascinating Ramban, which we say over. There's a pasuk, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. The Ramban said that's a mitzvah's essay deraisa to count, say, this is the first month, second month, third month. Because by calling this in the first month, you're remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why are you calling it the first month? The world was created in Tishrei. why are you calling Nisan the first month? Tara says, because it's the first month of Chashivas. So you're remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim by saying first month, second month, third month. So the Ramban says it's a mitzvah essay daraisa to say Achodesh HaRishon, Achodesh HaSheni, Achodesh HaShlishi. Correct the question, we don't do that anymore. We say Nisan, the Torah doesn't have the names. Nisan, Tishrei, those names are Babylonian. Like that's in the Megillas Esther, you have the name Adar. But these names came from Babel. So if it's according to Ramban, it's a mitzvah essay deraisa to say Chodesh Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. So why did the Minigan Gleisel come that instead we mention the names from Babel? So the Ramban says a very radical answer that since the reason why you're supposed to mention first months for Nisan is remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we also want you to remember the amazing nays that we were taken out of Galus Babel. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the only nays Hashem did. Shem did other nitzim, took us out of Babel. So Chazal substituted and purposed that we should use the Babylonian names for the months because this way we're remembering Yetzias Babel. And they felt that it's like an equivalency. The Torah gave a mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim by saying Chodesh Rishon and Sheni. So it's who you're Yaitzi, that mitzvah, by remembering Yetzias Babel, because the Iker is to remember that Hashem saved us. So therefore, according to the Ramban, every time you say the Hebrew month, Nisan, Iyar, Teves, Shvat, you mekayim a mitzvah asay deraisa of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim or Yetzias Babel. But meanwhile, what does Ramban say? That a later nes can change the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, but if a later nays happens, then we substitute the later nays for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what they say, Pshat in the Rambam is. That Avada, in the Mishnah here, why do we need a pasuk for the Yemos HaMashiach? We know other mitzvah we need for Yemos HaMashiach. And according to the Rav Chaim, Halacha, we paskin this mitzvah doesn't continue Yemos HaMashiach. Every other mitzvah does. Tarets is because we substitute. We substitute the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, with remembering the nays, not of Bavel, that was the Ramban and the Chumash, but the nays of the Mashiach, which is also a third nays. So therefore, we're able, without a pasuk, we would say you substitute. Chachamim say there's a special pasuk that you don't substitute, and we don't paskin like the Chachamim, we paskin like Ben Zayma. And therefore, we hold that you do substitute. So when the Mashiach comes, the mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is changed to Zecher Yetzias wherever we are in the time of the Mashiach. Okay, I just want to end with one last thing and then let you people go. The beginning of the Haggadah and the end of the Haggadah is very interesting. The entire Haggadah is in Hebrew. The beginning is Holach Ma'anya, is in Aramit, and the end is Chag Gadya, which the apparently indicates that these were either added somewhat later. They weren't part of the basic Haggadah. Okay, so they're added. Now, Holach Ma'anya is very, very early. Everyone agrees it's very early. Some people say it's even from the time when they had still Korban Pesach, because it's in there. They're inviting people to join you for the Korban Pesach, but it's not clear. But it's definitely from the early Rishonim. Holach Ma'anya, we have it recorded in the early Rishonim. So it's partial that most people say, why was it said in Arabic and Aramaic? Why didn't they say it in Hebrew? Because you're inviting guests, and you wanted to make sure either that the guess understood, and vice versa. But a pashtus, if it was invited, if it's said later, in the time, if it's written in the time of the Rishonim, they weren't speaking Aramis anymore. That was when they were in Babel. Poshib Shad, it's written around the 10th century, you know, say the 10th century, 11th century, 12th century. Then they weren't speaking Aramit. So why isn't it Aramit? So the common shot is because when you give an open invitation, you're a little bit nervous who's listening. You don't want, it's an open invitation, but not for everybody. So you're giving an open invitation, anyone who wants to come eat, but you have to at least understand Gemara Lashon. I don't want a person who doesn't understand Gemara Lashon, who knows how he might be some, who knows who, might be my next door Christian neighbor, whatever, I don't know. They're not invited, you know? So he said it, you disguise the invitation in Gemara language so that it should only be invited to people who can understand Gemara language. The question is on the Chagaja. Again, assuming the Chagaja is also written around the same time, because it is also quite early, maybe a little bit later, 1300s, they find that records already the early Rishonim of Chagaja. So why did they write it in Aramaic? Everything else in my God is in Hebrew. So why was that written in Aramaic? And Bechlau, everyone has like a very strange story. Why do we mention Chagaja? What's the idea, message of Chagaja? So I saw in a very interesting, a sefer, it's called Maimer Mordechai, an early sefer, about 300 years ago, that he says a beautiful pshat. He says that the Chagaja is a continuation of Shvoch HaMoscha, but a little bit even sharper. And because of that, they also wanted to disguise it. They didn't want the Goyim hearing. So, you know, Shvoch HaMoscha is a little bit parva because you're saying that Hashem should punish the Goyim who don't know Hashem. Okay, you know, that doesn't insult our neighbors because they all claim to know Hashem, right? You say, oh, we're speaking about the Avodah Zarah in Africa. But he said, Pshanim Chagaja, in truth, was talking about the Goyim that they were in. And he says, Pshat in the Moshe with his follows. The Gaja is Klai Yisrael. The Abba is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Moshe. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu buys Klai Yisrael. The Trey Zuzay is either Nasa V'Nishma, Anochi and Ayilacha. Okay, not either one. But Hashem buys Klai Yisrael. What happens? Some of the Goyim come and they persecute, right? So that's the Asa Shundra of Achla to Gaja. I don't think it means Achla doesn't mean that he ate the whole thing. I don't think it's not shy for a cat to eat a whole Gaja. I don't think so. But it means he took a bite. He took a bite to eat some of the Gaja. Okay. Now what happens? Then the Kalva eats the Shundra. What's shot the Kalva eats the Shundra? Is because the next day, everybody goes ahead and says, Magiyalach. I just saw this. It's Hashkacha Pratis. I saw today on the Heidegger Yeshiva World News, where I get my all my news from, that Putin said that he's going to warn Ukraine to shame Shemayim, right? That's, you know, he had no choice, right? So that's what everybody says. So the Kalva says to the Shunra, oh, you're a Russia Dika Shunra. I'm going to punish you. The Chutra says to the Kalva, oh, you terrible Kalva. I'm going to punish you. And the Nura says, like I said, that each one is a different nation, and each one is killing the other nation, and each one is claiming that they're the Shem Shemayim, because the chutzpah, what they did, I'm going to punish them. Comes along at the end, and it goes, Baruch Hu, Shachar HaMalach HaMoi, says, yeah, they're not all this, don't give me the Shem Shemayim baloney. You're not in the Shem Shemayim, you just like killing people. So therefore, you don't have an excuse. So you're all Chai of Misa. So the message of the Chagaja, according to this sefer, Maimer Mordechai, it's written in the early 1700s, he says, is that all the nations that are killing and going to war, and they're claiming that they're doing it, you know, the Palestinians are the freedom fighters, you know, right? You know, everyone's claiming they're going to Shem Shemayim. They're not in the Shem Shemayim. They have no excuse. They're just doing it because they like killing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end is going to come and punish them all. So he says this was such an amazing message that they ended the Haggadah with. And it's like a continuation of Shvel Chamoska, but you know, a little bit more clearer, sharper. But they didn't want to say it beforehand because, you know, in you're living in the medieval time, you would write this beforehand in your Haggadah, you'd probably get killed. So they disguised it, first of all, in this parable. And second of all, they had it in Aramid. So a double disguise. So the guy would not understand it. So it's a cute story, you know. It's a cute parable. But it's a mashal, he says, is that when people go to war and they just claim they're doing the Shem Shemayim, you're not, if you're, you know, there's certain things, you do a mitzvah, show the Shem Shemayim, okay, not so terrible. But you kill someone and you're not a Shem Shemayim, that's really a terrible aver. So that's how he says, Chan the Chag Gadji. Okay, so we did the beginning, we did the end. So we yaitzi the whole Haggadah. Yishikayach, everyone. Okay, have a Chag Kosher, v'sameach, and thank you. Thank you to Rabbi Schwartz for arranging it. And everyone should have a Kosher and Pesach.
Shkoyach, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, take care.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.